Welcome to the MPFFU podcast. The intent and purpose of the MPFFU podcast is to support the mission to improve wages, working hours, and working conditions for its members. This podcast will disseminate evidence-based relevant information, resources, and strategies. To accomplish this, the MPFFU podcast will provide reliable, factual, and actionable information that strengthens, empowers, and supports the MPFFU members and locals through united action. Now our host, Jeff Lassers.
Hello everyone and welcome to episode 14 of the MPFFU podcast. I'm Jeff Lassers and I've been a firefighter paramedic with the West Bloomfield Township Fire Department, Local 1721, since 2004. In this episode, we welcome Adam Bennett and Matt Lair. Matt is a firefighter paramedic with the City of East Point, Local 1561, as well as his local's treasurer and a member of the MPFFU Recruitment and Retention Committee. Adam Bennett is a firefighter with the Oshtemo Fire Department, as well as the president of Local 5240. Oshtemo Fire Department, Local 5240, is relatively new and joined the MPFFU in 2019. Adam is here to tell us why and how the Oshtemo Fire Department unionized and joined the IFF and MPFFU. In addition, he'll describe why his department chose to join the Michigan Professional Firefighters Union over other union organizations. Finally, Adam will describe how joining the MPFFU benefited the entire Oshtemo community, including the citizens, the township, and their fire department personnel. Please email us your feedback and tell us what you think about the show, or send us ideas for future episodes to mpffupodcast@gmail.com. Also, follow the MPFFU Instagram account at m.p.f.f.u. And finally, please subscribe, like, and share all of the content on the Michigan Professional Firefighters Union YouTube channel. Thank you, and enjoy the show. Matt Lair, kick us off. Who are you? What do you do, and where do you do it?
My name is Matt Lair. I am a East Point firefighter and paramedic and a sergeant in East Point. Also a member of the Michigan Professional Firefighters Union Recruitment and Retention Committee, and I serve as the local treasurer.
Right on, man. How long have you been doing all the union stuff beyond the career firefighter stuff?
So I got involved in the union almost the first year I was there. I think I was like a year and a half in, and I ran for office and I got the treasurer's gig, and I've held it since then. So
Adam, who are you? What do you do, and where do you do it?
My name is Adam Bennett. I am from Oshtemo Fire Department, which is the west side of Kalamazoo County, and I am the union president there, and I also have background working in the United Association Plumbers and Pipe Fitters, Local 357.
So multiple unions in your lifetime?
Yep.
Got a little bit of a background in that, and your union's pretty new, eh?
Yeah, we are a newer local. We formed in 2019.
So you're here to talk about basically that process, the what, why, and how. And that's really the point of this episode today, is to talk about what the value of organizing a labor force can do to maximize our wages, working hours, and working conditions. Because at the end of the day, it's not like you're trying to get the most to break the funding source. No, it's about getting a commensurate pay, a commensurate amount of time off that is certainly within the arena of what you do. So yeah. If you don't have a voice at the table, it's pretty hard to just assume somebody's going to give you the most you could possibly get out of a situation.
Yeah, if you don't have a seat at the table, you don't have much. And I think Oshtemo was a textbook case of a before and after with what happens when you collectively bargain, get that seat at the table where you historically have never had one, and to see the outcome of it, it's pretty impressive.
All right, before we get into that, let's listen to Matt Saar respond to the question, what is the value of organizing a labor force through unions?
Hi, I'm Matt Saar. I'm president with the Michigan Professional Firefighters Union. I'm also currently working as a firefighter in East Point, Michigan. The value of organizing your fire department or any labor union across the country is it gets you a seat at the table with the employer. That means all of you as employees are able to be represented by an elected person of your peers to go meet with management from your employer to help get things done. It also helps increase our wages, hours, and working conditions. And it allows for equal opportunities amongst our members. For us in the fire service, that may include promotions and or the hiring process. And it also provides for a long-term relationship between the labor force and our management teams.
As usual, President Saar summarizes things very concisely, and he made really three points. It's representation at the table for all members, maximizing our wages, hours, working conditions, and employment opportunities, like getting a raise or getting a bump in promotions. And then it also provides long-term relationship between the labor force and the people we serve.
I think you hit the nail right on the head. It definitely does. It's for everyone. It's not the individual anymore. You are collectively bargaining. Everybody has a say. Now, granted, you're going to establish a negotiating team to take that message, but it is the group as a whole obtaining that seat at the table. Historically, with Ashtamo, you had no voice. It was, you get what you get, and if you're unhappy with it, too bad. So we had a lot of turnover. They've used the term stepping stone department with us a lot. We run out of two stations. We ran, I think, around 3,400, 3,500 calls last year. We're not ALS. We don't transport. We're an MFR agency. Historically, our department has been pretty good about trainings, things like that. So we, over the years, we've gotten a ton of great guys that have come in, learned a lot, gotten some experience, and then they go off to a different department, a union department where the wages and benefits and working conditions were laid out. And we've lost a ton of talent over the years. And one of our sole purposes, I believe, as a union, is to no longer be a stepping stone department, to make it so people, when they see that Ashtamo's hiring, they go, oh man, that's a place I want to go. That's a place I want to spend a career.
That's a great point, Adam. And one of the big things that we try to do with recruitment and retention is teach kids who are 17, 18, 19 years old, who are coming out of high school, well, why would you want to be a firefighter? Well, it's a cool job to do, but the benefits that you have that maybe you don't realize at 18 that you're going to have a wife one day, you're going to have kids one day, and you're going to want to do things, and the unions give you that back. They give you the opportunity to provide the best life you can for your family. They provide a fair working wage or a good working wage. They give you time off. They give you health care. Everything that you might not know that you want is the value of a union. And part of the recruitment and retention is that we are trying to educate the next generation of firefighters while educating the generation of firefighters who are currently on the job so that you can teach them. This is why I was there. I did this, man. We didn't have a union and we have built this contract, and what we had before doesn't shine a light on what we have now because we went out and we formulated this union.
And that has to do with every union, right? Force having a collective bargaining option allows them to actually have those discussions with the people distributing the pennies throughout this process.
The bean counters?
Exactly.
Yep.
So what we're really saying here is organizing. You got a bunch of people who are doing jobs, whatever that is.
Yep.
Because of the nature of what they do, they can't be in an office every day having negotiations about how much they're getting paid. So in order to have the most maximized, efficient group of laborers, you know, the people who actually get stuff physically done in this country, we need to be able to allow them to say, this is what we need as a bigger group and how we need to work with our employer to figure out how we can get the most so that you get the most back out of us. It's really a balance.
Absolutely.
That's every union. I mean, I've been part of a couple of unions now. I worked in a hospital. I worked for IATSE into the film industry. And at the end of the day, a job's got to get done. And we're just trying to assure that you have the longest possible opportunity with those jobs within fair and balanced. It's not about trying to break the employer because that makes no sense. That way you don't get paid anymore if they don't exist.
Sure. Right. Yeah.
So now we're kind of at the point of, you know, we're talking about all unions, but you know, what sets apart the IFF from other labor unions? There's a lot of different unions out there. Now the IFF is part of the AFL-CIO and there's a ton of other unions within that. And the MPFFU is a arm of the IFF. Let's listen to President Saar on what the difference between IFF and other labor unions.
So the difference between the IFF and other labor unions, we do have a lot of the same goals. Improving our members' lives through wages, hours, and working conditions. However, the difference between the IFF and many other labor unions is autonomy. We give the power back to our locals through education to get what they think is best for them and their local. Now, we use that through guidance through our MPFFU, our district vice presidents. That includes the ones here in the state and also at the international, all the educational seminars and all of the different departments, whether it be health and safety, you name it, through both organizations, the IFF and the MPFFU, to help empower our own locals to get what they think is best for them.
Well, I think what Saar's trying to convey is that all the unions out there have a hub and spoke system, whereas the IFF is just like a lot of them. We certainly have a very good network and foundation built of communication, education, and training specific to empowering those fire departments. It's a very active association of firefighters. It's a very well-known union.
Absolutely.
And it's obvious that you joined the MPFFU IFF for a reason. So, Adam, walk us through when, why, and how Ashtamo joined the MPFFU.
Okay. Well, a little bit of background. One, I grew up in a union house. My dad was a union pipe fitter in the same local 357 for almost 40 years. I was in the same union with him. And then I got the opportunity. They were hiring some more full-time guys in about 2018. And I had the opportunity to make the switch and do full-time fire, which has always been my dream. It's what I've wanted to do. It did take a little bit of convincing with the wife because it was a little bit of a pay cut at first. So once we got all that hammered out, I made the switch and joined the full-time ranks of Oshmo Fire. It wasn't long after that, I was seeing one consistent thing from most of the members. They were not thrilled and a lot of complaining about wages, working conditions, not having a voice. I was starting to see a theme from all these guys. So one day, I was actually on my off days, I still did some pipe fitting. I was on my lunch break. I skipped my lunch and I got on the phone and I started calling these 24-hour guys. And I threw it out there. I said, hey, I'm hearing a lot of complaining. I'm hearing pretty much a similar theme. What are your thoughts on getting some information about unionizing and getting yourselves a seat at the table? Would you like to have a voice in this department? Almost everybody was unanimous that they wanted to get information. And even the one that was kind of on the fence said he would like to learn more. So at that point, I started reaching out. I did know of the IFF, so I reached out to the MPFFU and was able to get a contact and get some information on that. I reached out to about two others. One was Foam, F-O-A-M, and I don't even remember the third one. It was such a terrible phone conversation that I knew that was not the direction that we wanted to go. So the next step was we basically set up kind of a secret meeting at Station 2. And all the guys showed up. And then this.
Now, when you say secret, who is it secret to?
The township.
Okay. So it was literally the employer couldn't know about it.
Yep. We, you know, a lot of the guys were apprehensive. The, you know, hey, I mean, I want information, but, you know, we also needed the on duty guys to be able to be a part of it. We wanted everybody to hear what was going on so everybody can make an educated decision. So an individual, Monty Nye, shows up and gives a presentation about the MPFFU and the IFF. At the conclusion of that, we had a meeting, just the members, and I said, okay, now I also have this other union, FOAM. It's basically a bunch of cops pretending to be a fire union, but I wanted to give them options. You know, this wasn't my choice to make. And by the end of Monty's speech, it was unanimous that the guys, that's the direction they wanted to go.
Do you remember any of the key points Monty brought up that was really a selling feature?
A lot of what we're talking about today. It was a lot about once you guys file with Merck and you guys become a bargaining unit, they have to negotiate with you. You will have a seat at the table. You will have a voice. And he kind of explained, you know, the initial contract, a big thing we try to do is lock in what you have, and then we're going to build from there. I mean, he wasn't selling any kind of fairy tales or anything like this. It was going to be work. Rome wasn't built in a day. Everybody knows that. But we, on our initial contract, not only locked in everything we had, but we made some pretty good gains, and even more so on our second one.
So did you feel that choosing the MPFFU as a group, you didn't choose, but your group chose to go with the MPFFU over two other groups?
Yep.
And you felt that they would facilitate what you wanted in a more efficient way than the others, essentially?
100%.
You just felt like the stream of content and information you had access to actually get to the table, to fight the best way, essentially, was coming out of that group?
Yes, this was hands down the best option in my opinion, and all the other guys agreed. And this is a union that is ran by firefighters for firefighters. That is the mission, and that was the big draw.
How about the availability of resources that you could go now that you could draw from? For instance, you're the president, but you can make a call and your DVP can be there. Your DVP can make a call and escalate that even more. It's never you're standing there alone at the table. If you're like, man, I just want to get this piece ironed out, but I don't know where to go with this. Or I don't even know how to set up this initial meeting. Now that you're an organized union, you can call your district vice president and you sit down and you talk with him. He says, this is what we're going to do.
You're never left in the dark. If you've got an issue, if you've got a topic, a situation, or you need some guidance, it's always there for you, which was very helpful as a new union starting out. Yeah, I have background as a pipe fitter in Local 357, but I wasn't the president. I never wrote a contract. I mean, they're over 100 years old. The contracts and all the legwork had been done when I joined. So to have these resources, you can't put a price on it.
So obviously, having resources versus no resources, that's the obvious better in comparison before and after.
Huge.
But I'm curious in the before and after and a couple of other things. You said seat at the table. So literally, nobody decided. So they literally said, we think this, budgeted for it, and that was it?
That was it. It was, this is the raise you're going to get this year, and you don't know until the next year. There's no discussion about it. It was, you get what you get. We had 48 hours of sick time that if you don't use it, you lose it.
A year. That's it?
Yep. So there was all kinds of things that were a joke. There was no established like work hours for the daily stuff. There was, I mean, we were having our guys sent out in brush rigs to go water trees for the parks department. They had us go out and test all the hydrants. And you might make the argument of, oh, well, you know,
sure,
the hydrants, it's firefighter stuff. Yes, but we also have a union water department that's their job. So now we're stealing another union's work.
Well, I'm not the best hydrant guy either. Well, I'd rather have the qualified, educated hydrant guy working on the hydrants.
100%.
He doesn't want to fight fire.
So
I just want to plug into the hydrant. That's it.
Absolutely. So when we finalized our first contract, all that stuff went away.
Okay, so you were delineating the job. Mm-hmm. More accurately to what you were supposed to be doing, number one.
Yeah, splitting crews to water trees. It was insane.
Okay. Yeah. We've all been asked to do some weird stuff.
Sure.
You know, it comes and goes as it is.
Absolutely.
But certainly defining the roles of what you do and don't do is probably one of the bigger ones.
Yeah.
And then the biggest one was, you know, wages, hours, and working conditions. They were literally just telling you what it needed to be.
Yep.
And what's dangerous about that isn't that you're not including a union. It's that you're not including the opinion of the humans that do the job. And right. What do you think's going to happen if you don't care? They're going to leave and you become a stepping stone department.
Absolutely. And we were the definition of it. We actually had a supervisor that was barely including our chief in a lot of things that had to do with the fire department. And they didn't have a very good working relationship, which the masses suffered from that.
What about healthcare?
Healthcare, historically, we had decent health coverage.
Okay.
So there were some things in place that were not terrible.
Yeah, not to say that not all townships are evil groups of humans.
Absolutely.
And sometimes they're just misguided, miseducated on how things need to work and how things need to operate at a high efficiency.
That was the case here. Nobody was being malicious in this or that. I think it was, again, uneducated. And, you know, we transitioned. I think it was 2015 or 16 was when we went from no full-time fire other than 3 40-hour chiefs to actually having 24-hour line personnel. So it was a big transition. The department was growing. So, again, I don't feel that any of it was malicious. But even when you try to explain it to them, it was hard to get through because you didn't really have the seat at the table. And it would be kind of a, hey, I heard a rumor that the deputy chief might be going to the chief about 24 more hours of sick time. And then 6 months later, it was, you heard a rumor, oh, the chief shot it down. Their supervisor shot it down.
Yeah, there's no process.
It was just sickening. I said, you know, this is your guys' working conditions. This is bullshit. We need to have a say.
And I want to make it clear, nobody's asking for anything to make us a bunch of rich people that we could retire in our 30s. We're trying to catch up to a decent life where we can get home with our families, friends, whatever you're into.
Yep.
To have that off time and actually have a little bit of a life. And nobody's trying to get out of work. Nobody's trying to get paid for something they're not doing.
Right.
We just want a commensurate pay and conditions for what we do.
You know, we have unplanned PTO in our contract now. We never had anything like that before.
Exactly.
And yeah, life changes.
The wife calls, the husband calls, whoever you are, something broke. Somebody got hurt. A thing happened. My car is, it happens.
I got to go.
I need support.
Yep.
You know, we have a job where people have emergencies and we show up.
Right.
I kind of need my employer to assume that my life has emergencies sometimes and that I need support.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're all in this together. And yes. I think people forget that sometimes.
I think that's the truest definition of it is that we look at it like it's us versus them, whether it be the city, the township, whoever. It doesn't have to be that way. And I don't know if it's necessarily us as the fire department gets that kind of bad vibe or if the cities have that persona about them, but we should all be working together to create a place where you as the city should want guys coming to your fire department. You should want people there. Why would you not?
Right.
Because you are representative of the city and the residents. And if you're not providing a good place for firefighters to come, then the safety of the residents is really what falls from there. So you are, as a city, have the best interests of the residents in mind. And if you don't have that, how are you going to recruit people to come and work at your fire department? That's the biggest point that we can make from the union standpoint is to recruit and retain people to your fire department. Why would you not want that as a city? Why would you not want better people being a part of your organization? If you build a good foundation, then you're going to recruit and you're going to keep the best people possible. And the residents are going to see how that benefits them across the board.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it should be this circle where the township or city takes care of me. I take care of the citizen. The citizen tells us whether we're good, bad, or indifferent. Then they vote accordingly.
If it's done properly, everybody wins. And again, back to your point of the us versus them. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. It doesn't have to be that way. With our first contract, it took us a year and 3 months to get through that initial contract. And it was starting to go down that road of us versus them. And luckily, we've kind of saved that. And the second negotiations for the second contract really was night and day from the first one. And there's been some changes in leadership, which has been beneficial. We even got a new HR person. Our second contract was actually, it felt like we were coming together collectively and all trying to make the best choices for the citizens and for the employee.
It certainly shows that the benefit of a collective bargaining for any labor force benefits the customer slash citizen as well as the employer, because it's all balanced symbiosis between all of us and we're all in it together.
Absolutely. And I mean, when you look at what the MPFFU and IFF offers as far as training opportunities, you're setting the bar higher. You're giving these employees the ability to learn new skills, to do different things. And it's kind of like when I was a union pipe fitter. We had a 5-year apprenticeship. You had to maintain a certain percentage of grades. You needed to get all these certifications. And our big selling point is your non-union guys don't have this. We set the bar higher. And I think that the IFF and MPFFU do a good job of that. The opportunities across the country, if not world, they're massive. When you're members and you're a part of this, you have access to this. It shows. The proof is in the product.
All right, Adam. So you're new to the IFF, not new to unions.
Yes.
You're here to really tell everybody the benefits you've experienced, not only unionizing your fire department, but with the MPFFU. So as we close out, we're recognizing that there's a lot of fire departments in Michigan that are not in the MPFFU. Some not even unionized. What are your top recommendations or considerations for any fire department out there that isn't in a union currently, and why they should really consider joining the MPFFU to help their citizens and their employees?
Well, I think if you're in a department like that, ask yourself an honest question. Do you feel like your employer has given you and your members a seat at the table? Do you have a voice when it comes to raises? Do you have a voice when it comes to benefits? And these are things that are for your family. These are important topics. And if you feel like your employer, you just get what you get. Sometimes it might be good, sometimes it might be bad, but you have no say in it. I would highly recommend that you guys reach out and get the information. Reach out to these unions, MPFFU, whoever it is, and let all your members get the information. Don't just have one guy look into it. Have somebody come down, do a presentation for all of your guys so that they can get the information and they can decide as a group, because that's what this is about. You are a group. There's no one individual in this union. It is about the collective unit. Get the information, and if it makes sense to you, move forward. If the thought of having the ability to sit down and negotiate and fight for what you and your guys want, if that's appealing to you, then that's what a union stands for. We don't have time right now, but if I had my phone right here and I could call every one of my members on speakerphone and give them the opportunity to say, hey, if you could go back to that day when you decided we should do this or shouldn't, would you change your answer? Not a single one of them would say, yes, I changed my answer. They would all say, absolutely not. I've had them tell me to my face, I can't imagine going back. Like, wow, the gains we've seen and the ability we have. We have a department now. Our chief is reaching out to us to be on hiring committees. He wants union members on this. It's wonderful. Our guys feel like they've got buy-in. They've got a say. And it's been night and day for Oshmo. I can say that.
Last question before we close out. You said before that Oshmo was a stepping stone department. Since you've become an MPFFU local, has that changed?
I would say yes. We have brought in outside people. We have kept a lot of our guys. It's a tough one when you lose a guy to something like Detroit or Grand Rapids. There's a huge departments. If a guy's got it in his mind that he wants to get that more big city feel, that's tough to overcome. But with our two contracts, I think we've had guys that were on the fence about potentially looking at other places, and I don't feel like that's the case anymore. And I can't wait to see what the next few contracts bring. I think the next 5-10 years for our department is going to be a game changer.
Right on.
Yeah, and I'm excited for it.
So. And if it's helping to retain, it's going to be good to recruit.
Absolutely. If you see guys talking and get the buzz going, hey, did you hear what Oshmo's doing? Did you see this? Did you read that contract they got? Oh my gosh.
You want to be in that conversation. And if I'll tell you what, if I'm a city manager, I want that to be in the conversation. I want firemen dying to be into my city, because at the end of the day, I need my citizens to call 911.
Absolutely. And think about the money wasted when you hire somebody and a year and a half later, they're off to the next one. You bought them gear. You did this. You sent them to these classes. As far as the municipality, if they're going to invest the money, don't you want to keep that individual? So I would just highly recommend it. If anybody's considering it, if they're on the fence, get the information for the entire body. Get somebody down there to explain what unions do, how they work, and let the majority decide. That would be my two cents.
That was a great episode with Matt and Adam, and I want to thank them for their efforts on this latest podcast. But I want to make something clear to all of our members that are going into negotiations or that are helping with their e-boards and preparing for negotiations. Nothing will ever replace the tried and true method of being prepared, which means having the facts available to you. It's great to have good working relationships with your employer. However, a good relationship will never replace you being prepared. At the end of the day, you're working for your members on a multi-million dollar contract, and we get it done by being absolutely the most prepared in the room.
Thank you to Adam Bennett and Matt Layer for joining me on the 14th episode of the MPFFU podcast. I hope all of our listeners enjoyed this show and now have a better appreciation for the value of unions. Remember, this is a new show and there's always room to improve. Please email us your feedback and tell us what you think about the show, or send us ideas for future episodes to mpffupodcast@gmail.com. Also, follow the MPFFU Instagram account at m.p.f.f.u. And finally, please subscribe, like, and share all of the content on the Michigan Professional Firefighters Union YouTube channel. Have a great day.